Please be seated, won't you? Hey, Beth. We're going to be Baptist for a minute. Can you play a little John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever just softly? The John... Close enough. It's ba 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 da ba 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 ba. You know that? She knows it. There we go. Thank you. So just so you know, the first time I heard that, I peed my pants. I know, you're thinking, what are you doing, Gar? What kind of sermon is this going to be? It was 1976. It was the 200th anniversary of our country. I was standing on Central Avenue in my hometown of El Dorado, Kansas. There was a marching band playing that amazing music. Behind them were a bunch of soldiers marching. Behind that were military trucks and a tank. And in front of that was my grandfather, who had just retired as sheriff of Butler County. And it was all I could handle in the excitement and terror and jubilation of the entire town celebrating that moment. I had boots on, too. And I told my mom, as she was standing there with my brothers and I said, Mom, I think I had an accident. She says, it doesn't matter. Just stand here and have a good time. I always remember that, but I also remember the feelings I had of the excitement of the marching band. I think it was not soon after that I began to play the trumpet. And the power of the music, but also the power of what I was seeing. There was something that was stirring and emotional. You might have experienced that if you're a sporting person, you might go to a Chiefs game and they finally score a touchdown, which rarely happens. And the excitement of cheering with 50,000 of your closest friends or 70,000 of your closest friends, that sort of moment when everything sort of takes over you, and it's quite powerful. It's something that can really stir you and shock you at the same time. I was thinking about that when I was getting ready to talk about the lessons today, about how often we don't have that kind of stirring, maybe, when we encounter the kingdom of God. And maybe we should. When we encounter the kingdom of God, when the kingdom of God comes near us, are we stirred in that same way? Are we caught up in the awesomeness, caught up in the power, caught up in wanting to be sort of in that moment, even, as the psalmist would say, even in a little bit of our fear of God? Or are we not able to hear it? Are we slightly blind to it, slightly deaf to it, slightly sort of, benign? I think that's a question for us sometimes that we have to think about. And we hear a little glimpse of that in the Old Testament. Naaman sends off for someone to be healed. He hears of a prophet that can heal him. And the prophet comes and there's a conversation and Elijah's like, I don't need to go. He's not going to listen to me. God says, go anyway. And he goes up and he says, okay, Naaman, just go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. You should be fine. That's kind of how the scripture makes it sound. And what's Naaman do? I expected thunder and lightning. Tracy did a good job reading that this morning. I expected something grand, and all he says is to go to the Jordan. There's even better rivers than that. Why is he sending me to that river? And then he's nudged. He says, go, and you'll find your healing. That's kind of interesting because this is the Jordan where we'll have the baptism of John. The baptism also of Jesus. The Jordan is a place of healing throughout the scriptures. It's an important river that sustains agriculture, sustains community, sustains people. It leads from its place it starts, which is called the gates of hell, gates of Hades. It's where Pan's temple is. And it flows through the countryside, ending in the Dead Sea. It had much attributed to it in the time. And so it's seen as a river that maybe isn't as pleasant as we might think, but it's seen as a place of repentance. Now remember in Old Testament thinking, diseases are from sin. And so to go and to be washed in the river that comes from hell and returns to the dead is to be released of your sin. And the leprosy is healed. We hear in Galatians this powerful message of hope, of giving people grace. If someone is far from you, if someone has sinned, if someone is outside of the community, be gentle with them, Paul says, and welcome them back and seek after them. Draw them back in and don't boast of the wrong things. Don't boast of the flesh. That sometimes is code word for don't talk about the worldly things that you do, but focus on the spiritual. He says, I will boast of Christ's crucifixion, and I hope I boast of nothing else. So we are to approach those who are outside, those who have sinned, those who have been harmed, with gentleness and with grace. And then we have this passage from the gospel, and Jesus sends the 70 out, two by two, and says, go out, don't take much, a tunic, small bag, your staff, change of clothes. Don't take any food. Go to the towns, and where you're welcome, stay. Where you're not welcome, leave. That's pretty solid advice. Go and where your peace is received, stay as long as your peace continues to be received. And when it's time to move on to the next community. If someone doesn't receive you, shake off the dust and go on. And he says two kind of interesting things. To those who receive you, say, the kingdom of God has come near. And to those who do not receive you, he says, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. Whether you received or not, the message is to somehow try to get across. I want you to think about that just for a second. The kingdom of God has come near. What does that mean? A couple weeks ago, I got an email from someone who had been part of a church that I served a while back, and I wasn't someone that I had really had strong thoughts of or remembrance of, just sort of remembered. And they wrote to talk about how they had encountered this community at a particular time in their life. They had found a place of welcome, a place of reconciliation, a place where they had been able to heal by being in the presence of a kind community, of a gentle community. And they were able to go on from that moment to make changes in their life and to do something and ended up and then told a story of what they had begun doing from that time. I was moved to tears as I read this person's writing because it's everything we hope for in a church. And as I also was moved is because it was the community that had done it and not any particular word of any particular person, but just a loving community. For that person, the kingdom of God had come very near and had allowed them to be transformed and changed. We should have a parade with loud banging cymbals and music and everything we can possibly bring out to celebrate that moment, to be caught up in the excitement that someone's life was transformed by doing exactly what Paul asked us to do. Have you watched the news lately? Are you still watching it? I don't know, sometimes it's not worth it. I'm not sure what to make of anything anymore. I'm not sure where the truth is. Butter is bad for you. No, butter is good for you. No, it's sort of good for you and sort of bad for you, but it's probably better if you're a vegan. Except you need certain proteins. But don't use too much salt. Well, no, don't use any salt. Well, now use as much salt as you want. Have you ever followed these trainings? It's hard to find even simple truth like that. Maybe that's not that simple. But what's justice? How do we deal with racism, sexism? How do we deal with the injustices that are all around us in the world? Let's not even go towards politics. How do we find where God's kingdom is in this mess? I think we need it. I think, as Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, and sometimes the laborers are few. I think it's hard for us sometimes to see just how near God's kingdom might be if we can open our eyes. So maybe the challenge this week is to live into some of those words of Paul about living into the gentleness of those around you. To talk to others about your experience of God and how God has done amazing things for you. Some will receive it, some aren't going to want to talk about it. Now, don't make it too big of a production about knocking the dust off your feet at their house and protesting. But sometimes move on. You see, I think the reason Jesus says, still proclaim that the kingdom of God is near, is because we never know when someone's going to be ready to hear it. When their eyes will be open and their ears are open and their soul is open to receive, to know and to understand that truth that's coming. There are times when I see the kingdom of God burst forth, and it's amazing. It's awesome. And it can be terrifying too. So go be laborers and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Amen.